What up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoke and Talk podcast. This episode is brought to you by mybookie.ag. Now listen up here, folks. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course, you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why you should go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they didn't have a good track record of paying out. You feel me? Football season's going on. That dude Antonio Brown's causing all kind of drama. You can bet on weirdness on and off the field. You can bet on racing. You can bet on football. You can bet on politics. You can bet on celebrities dying, which is morbid, but you can still do it. And if you're the kind of guy that wants to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. If your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year to bet. If you join now and enter promo code TIRES to activate the offer, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Promo code TIRES at MyBookie.ag today. Go to MyBookie.ag and use code TIRES at checkout. You play, you win, you get paid. How about this? You're driving down the road, your check engine light comes on, boom. What do you do? Step one, get yourself a Blue Driver Pro scan tool. Blue Driver can read all the computer systems in your vehicle, tell you what the problem is, and suggest solutions from a database of millions of ASE verified fixes. You can fix the problem yourself or head to the garage armed with knowledge. Either way, you're in control. Plus, Blue Driver can do so much more than just read codes. You can view live data from your vehicle, read freeze frame and mode 6. You can do your own smog checking, stay up to date on recall and service bulletins, and much more. That's why Blue Driver is the best-selling scan tool on Amazon. Go check out the thousands of positive reviews on Amazon. Reviews by real people who saved a ton of time and money using Blue Driver. Now, for a limited time, take advantage of the special smoking tire offer. Visit bluedriver.com/TST to get 10% off the Blue Driver Pro scan tool. Don't let your car troubles be a mystery again. Get Blue Driver today. That is bluedriver.com/TST. Last but not least, it's the Brio Beardscape. As I read this ad to you right now, I am like baby's bottom fresh. I just used the Beardscape like a half hour ago to get rid of my post-Europe stubble, and then I did the old straight edge razor in the shower to make it freshy fresh. It's the bomb. The Beardscape, it just keeps on going, man. Give it a little brush, give it a little oil once in a while. The ceramic blade doesn't get tarnished. It stays sharp. It doesn't snag me. It's got these attachments so I can do the goatee as well as the whole head. You can do your balls. I mean, frankly, you can do your balls. They want to dance around it, but they mean balls. You can definitely shave your balls with it. That's true. And the battery lasts a real long time. The motor's got a lot of power. It's a powerhouse. I love the Beardscape. It can replace buzzers from both the high and the low end at the same time. Go to brio4life.com. That's brio, the number 4, life.com. Use code SMOKING at checkout for the best price on the internet for the Brio Beardscape.
All right, everybody. Hi. This is going to be a tough show because this is a tough day for us at the Smoking Tire over the weekend. My good friend, Chef Carl Ruiz, passed away of, I don't exactly know how at the moment. I don't really know the circumstances. It was very sudden. And he's gone now. And that's incredibly, incredibly sad for me. Anyone who ever met him, followed him on Instagram or Twitter, heard him on the radio, either with me or on Opie's show or on my Watch and Listen podcast. He was like he was just a ball of fire, and he lived life at full throttle every time. Sorry for a cheesy car metaphor, but that's what it is. And he was a great chef. But his skills in the kitchen were, in my opinion, the least interesting thing about him. He knew so much about so much. And more importantly, depending on who he was talking to, he could translate any concept into what you would understand. So if he was talking to me and he was talking about a food, he would say, well, this is the BMW M3 of food, and then, or of this food, and then this is the 911 of food, and this is the Mustang of food, and I would understand what he meant. And if he was talking to a watch guy, he would compare the food to a Rolex versus a Tudor versus a Panerai. If he was talking about boats, it would be, you know, it would be, he could translate any topic into a relatable thing for anybody. And by doing that, he introduced really good people to other really good people. I have great friends because of Carl. I got amazing service in places just because I knew Carl, and it was like the scene in Goodfellas where they bring the table, you know, over the crowd, table in front, and the champagne, and he taught me a lot about watches, about food, about business, about life. You know, it's great that we have all these recordings of Carl, because we can go back and listen to a lot of them and relive I can relive how I felt when I heard them the first time, you know, and some of his really amazing one-liners, and you know, he just had a way of looking at the world and democratizing food and making almost any topic seem relatable. And he was the life of any party. I'm sure I told this story before, but he came to my wedding. You know, I've only known him for like 2 years, but he came to my wedding, and you know, he was like a wedding crashers guest, but he was invited. You know, he danced with everybody. He went behind the bar. We were serving family style food, and he plated like all his whole table's food. Like, he couldn't help himself. He made new food. We had like this amazing chef doing this amazing food, and Carl turned it into other food. It was so delicious. It tasted nothing like what we started with. And he was like shoving tacos in people's faces, including mine. And then at the hotel bar later, you know, we went back to the bar, like 100 of us after our wedding, and Carl came and ordered $300 worth of Domino's to the hotel bar, and it was Domino's for everybody, and it wasn't just like, he then wasn't like, oh, well, Domino's was all that was around, and he wasn't like, you'd expect a Food Network chef to be like, you know, foodie, but he once when the Domino's came, not only is it fucking delicious, but he then was explaining to like all of us, like in the most interesting way, like why Domino's as a thing, as a cultural food and a cultural phenomenon, is just as important as any of the fancy foods. And for like, we all like kind of like stopped the after party to appreciate not the Domino's that we were shoving in our face, but like the existence of Domino's. Like, he was, you know, Carl was a philosopher, and, you know, everyone who ever met him, just, it was, you know, he was the king. He introduced me to chefs. He introduced me to car people and watch people, and any friend of Carl's was a friend of his. And I had a couple friends, you know, text me who met him at my wedding, and he said, so literally, my friend Mike, I'll just read it off my phone. It was like a couple hours ago. He said, are you introduced at your wedding? And he said, if you're a friend of Matt's, then you're a friend of mine. No questions asked. And he treated me like that for the rest of the night. And that's what happens. You know, he'd meet somebody, and you'd meet him in 5 minutes, and you'd go, and if he was a friend of your, you know, if there was a connection with one of his people that he knew was good people, like, there was an assumption that the chain of good people would be unbroken. And I think that was incredibly wonderful. And so I'm sure there'll be a lot more to say about Carl. We're going to be talking about Carl for a very long time. I'm going to be talking about Carl for the rest of my life. He was larger than life, and it's the saddest thing ever. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. 44 years old. And so, with this episode of the show, Carl visited us on the Watch and Listen podcast, and I know not everybody is super into watches, but Carl had a way of talking about any topic. Like I just said, they could make it interesting to a fan of other topics. And because he knew he was talking to my audience, he talked about watches sort of in a way that a car audience, I think, would really appreciate. And if you ever were going to listen to somebody talk about watches, Carl Ruiz is the person that you should listen to. If not, just to appreciate the way his mind worked for an hour or so. So this is from, I don't know, a year or so ago when he came to visit us, and me and my friend Cameron Weiss on the Watch and Listen podcast. And this episode was called Carl Ruins Everything, because he smashed a lot of my preconceived notions about watches. And I think if you ever wondered why we like watches, or what, you know, I think you might find this very interesting. And if you ever wanted to know, you know, why, what kind of a person can affect, can make Matt Farah cry, Carl Ruiz dying is definitely it. So, we're going to be talking a lot about Carl, but for now, this is Carl's appearance, on the Watch and Listen podcast, one of two. I'll link the other one in the description. The other was when he did the history of Rolex with us, which is actually very funny because he kind of hates them as a company. And so it's really funny to have someone on a history of show who doesn't really like the brand very much. This is Carl Ruiz with me and Cameron Weiss on the Watch and Listen podcast on the Smoking Tire podcast. Rest in peace, Carl. We love you.
This episode is going to be really fun. I got my friend Chef Carl Ruiz in studio. It's a bit of a catch-up episode. We're not telling the history of anything. Carl has such a vast knowledge of watches and certain things that make certain watches valuable, good investment pieces. And Carl, we kind of go all over the place, but Carl gives us some great tips on how to invest in luxury watches before they get too expensive and out of control. I mean, he's got some really, really good theories on what watches are good for what people, and is just one of the most street smart and interesting individuals that I know. So, Chef Carl Ruiz on the Watch and Listen podcast, here we go. Watch and Listen podcast, folks. Here it is. We're back. We took a little 2-week hiatus. I was traveling the world. Cameron was launching new watches. And we're back with Chef Carl Ruiz in studio.
I love it.
Restaurateur, chef, restaurant. Dishwasher.
Dishwasher extraordinaire.
Co-host of the Opie Radio podcast.
Opie Radio podcast. He's super ambitious in the summer. He's
Team Guy Fieri.
Team Guy Fieri.
I became Team Guy Fieri a couple of years ago after hearing Guy do 3 hours of radio on the Opie Radio show.
He was awesome.
And going, this is the guy.
Yeah.
This is the, forget the fucking hair. This is the guy. He is what's up, man.
And let me tell you something about him is he's done more for the restaurant business. He goes to these little restaurants.
You're talking about Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He goes to these little restaurants, and he gives them millions of dollars worth of advertising that they would never have. And if it's one thing I love is fighting the Goliath, fighting the big chains. Because if you go to the Midwest, I mean, it's just disgusting.
You know what I found was interesting about, and I'm going to tread lightly because I do not want to speak ill of the dead, R.I.P. Anthony Bourdain. But right. I found so interesting about Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives versus like No Reservations right. or Parts Unknown is Anthony Bourdain would go out of his way to not say where places were because right. he didn't want to ruin the vibe.
Right.
And I understand that perspective, but Guy is like, come eat this shit.
Right.
You bring your fucking wallet. Come on down. Is that a good guy?
That's
get good. Down here.
Favor Town.
Favor Town.
Favor Town.
Favor Town.
Sexual chocolate, everybody.
Hi, Cameron.
How's it going?
Sorry, Carl and I were just like overwhelming Cameron this morning. Yeah, What's happening, man?
Keep my energy level high today,
dude. You're gonna have to really fight us for microphone time on this one, dude.
I'm totally stealing this Weiss watch.
Carl came on my boat with me when I first got my watch from you, Cameron.
The Blue.
And he was fucking.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about having that one in your wrist, buddy?
Let me tell you something. The biggest thing this watch makes me happy is the hands are the right size.
The hands.
The biggest problem modern watches have is that the hands are too small.
Interesting.
You know, like via like the Rolex Explorer.
I just picked up this Glashütte, and the hands are quite thin.
They're very thin,
and the length as well.
And the length
are they usually too short or too long?
Yeah, sometimes they're too short, and they don't touch the minute track.
So the minute hand is great, but the hour hand is painfully short. And these are
that Glashütte does have a very short hour hand,
and that really makes me nuts. And if someone who has short things personally, physically, which explains why, like a first date for me could be $10,000.
Carl.
Oh, silly small Carl. Little baby arm Carl. But that's the thing. And watches right now, what happens is they're making a lot of part spin style watches where they're just taking pieces of other watches and just keep growing models. Omega, stop it.
Turn your phone on silent, fucko.
Sorry.
So Carl is one. Carl, Cameron, and Spike are the three people that got me into watches. And so, like, Cameron in terms of the manufacturing, Spike in terms of the, oh, that one is special because it has the long E or whatever. And Carl, I think, is the most. Carl had the best quote about watches that I've ever heard anyone say, which is that it's okay for a man to want a trophy.
Yes.
Which I think is like. A lot of people in watches try and downplay that as much as possible. Right. That, like, why is it okay for a woman to want a big-ass diamond or whatever, but it's not okay,
right.
It's douchey for a guy to want a really nice watch.
I embrace douchiness. I'm a douchebag. I like things that are flashy.
That's okay.
I like shiny things. I'm Cuban, right? So
is that a chef thing or a Cuban thing or
it's a lot of things. But it's all everything that I do is to show off. Literally everything. I wear stupid t-shirts. I'm
the Tangiers Hotel. I fucking love that shirt. Actually, it's a great shirt.
Everything I wear clogs, nowhere near a kitchen. Let me tell you, you want to hear the most unethical thing I do?
Yes.
Chef and TV. I time my appearances on the Food Network to when I go to the local bar.
That's amazing.
So the other day, I'm sitting there, and a girl goes, what do you do? And I go like this. I just point at the screen.
That's so funny.
And there was a collective sigh of all the dudes in the bar like, who brought Mr. Natural here?
So
he's rounding the bases. The sparks are going off on the lights. It was lights out.
That's so funny. I have the opposite experience of that. In 2012, I was broke. Someone had stolen a lot of money from our company, Emil Rensing. He's now in prison.
Okay, good.
Thank God. And
that's the producer.
That's
dude.
The guy who stole all our money. Yeah, and I was owed $80,000, and I had been working for basically 4 or 5 months with no money, and I was out of money.
Right.
And I got a job bouncing at the bar that I was going to, and at one point. I was at the bar checking IDs while I was on television driving a supercar in the bar.
Wow.
And someone was like, hey, what? And I was like, don't talk to me.
you literally just described Tuesday for me. Let me tell you how I got into watches.
Yes.
I used to, when I was 16 years old, I worked for a gangster in a restaurant making veal meatballs in Brooklyn. And he comes up to me and he says, I'm going to do you a favor, kid. I'm going to do you a favor that's going to help you for the rest of your life. He says, come with me. He takes me to Diamond District. And in New York City, on 46th Street, where they sell all the Rolexes and the Folexes and everything. So he shows me a Rolex Submariner. He goes, listen, you're going to be with some broad when you get older. And she's going to decide one day that you're on your way out. And the problem is she's been thinking about it for 6 months. You're going to figure it out in a minute. You're going to get there. The door ain't going to work. So on your wrist, a real man should always have a watch that can buy the security deposit on a new apartment, a mattress, and a good TV. And if your watch doesn't do that, then it's not a good watch.
That's a good tip.
And I went with him, and I was 16 years old, and I picked out the watch, and it was completely random, but it was a double red sea dweller.
What year are we talking about?
1993.
For those listening, next episode, Carl's going to join us for two. Next episode, we are actually doing the history and watches of Rolex. We have three boxes of Rolexes in the other room. And so we're going to try and not go too Rolex heavy, but the double red sea dweller. Tell me about this watch,
with
Carl.
The open nine. Isn't that beautiful?
And that one kept up with inflation, even with the prices.
Oh my God!
What'd you pay for that in 1994? Carl?
I paid for that in 1994 $27.50.
That won't buy you a Jubilee bracelet right now. Without a watch,
$27.50 box and papers, one owner.
Unbelievable!
Wow. And one owner, did you purchase, sell it?
Purchased from Boucher. What do you call that?
Boucher.
How do you say that? The
Carl F. Boucher.
Yeah.
Boucher. Right.
Yeah. Boucher.
Yeah.
Stamped and signed Boucher. A beast.
Still have it?
No.
What'd you get for it on the other end?
$78,000.
Is that what these things are going for now, or was that a peak and it's now settled a little?
No. Now they're down to 50. They're in the 50s now. But the guy that I bought it from, first of all. I don't know how. Well, I'm Cuban, right? So I can say things that are mildly racist.
Sure. I think.
Sell it.
Don't blame me.
Sell it to an Asian in Hong Kong. Oh, they pay for shit.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't believe.
I just saw a crazy rich Asian.
Like I sold my watch and I brought him to my apartment in the city. I'm like, you know, it's for sale. He's like, good. I'll take it. How much for the toilet paper? I'm like, you want me to buy my toilet paper? He's like, I like your toilet paper. I'm like, 200?
Wow. So, that was your first watch?
That was my first real watch. And then after that, I realized my whole idea of watches changed, right? I don't buy watches necessarily because I like them. I buy watches because I know I can resell them. It's like this glitch that I have in my mind. So,
yeah, you actually Carl has such an eye for investment watches. He really does. Like every time we talk about it, he knows the market in and out on anything I want to like look at. It's crazy.
That's pretty rare too. A lot of people are just like, I lost everything on that watch. It's worthless now.
Well, Carl, give us some little secrets. No Rolexes. Put Rolex aside for a minute.
That's easy.
Yeah. Put Rolex aside.
I don't even consider Rolex a watch brand. I consider it a trophy. It's a luxury brand. It has nothing to do with the rest of the watch world.
They're their own market.
They're their own market. So they should be talked about in a bubble.
Okay, so we'll talk about the bubble will be next episode. this episode, what's a good place to invest in a great watch that's not a Rolex?
So there's a lot of ways to go about it, right? Like for example, see this watch. This is a Panerai.
We can put it under the thing. We have the watch cam. Yeah.
So this is my personal watch, my travel watch, right?
Opie, if you're out there, this setup doesn't cost a lot of money. You can do this too, buddy.
So that's my Panerai 88. Okay.
I just realized, by the way, for those of you who are watching this video, this watch cam has a lot of other settings, including a much sharper thing. Look how much better this is now than it was before.
That's awesome.
I learned a couple things about our studio, and I thought there wasn't a better way to get a better image, but there is. So this is a Panerai Luminor.
Panerai Luminor 88 GMT. Now, let's talk about this watch. This watch is completely ridiculous, right? The case is stupid. It's not a good diving watch. It's almost illegible. The GMT is super inaccurate. It keeps
Wait, is the GMT hand pointing at the 7 right now? It's like impossible to see the GMT hand.
And then but if you notice, it doesn't match up with the actual number, right? It's always off about
the hours and minutes are almost at 12
everything
o'clock.
Is off.
Slightly off.
The hour hand is painfully small. So here's why it's a great watch. Because it's fucking shiny. Okay? It's 44 millimeters.
It's big and shiny.
It's 44 millimeters. So if you want to sell anything to anyone that doesn't know anything, it has to be over 44. Right?
Oh, yeah?
Like this is like a, the Weiss is, this is a thinking man's watch. This is a watch you keep forever, right? This is a watch that you wear. And this is what I call a lecture watch. Because there's collectors that I know that love to lecture people.
Yeah, that's right.
So like if you, right, ask me about this, ask me like, what are you wearing?
Oh, I'm wearing a Weiss watch. It was made by my friend in California from scratch. And here's this and this.
And you do it the LA way. I do it the New York way. So ask me what I'm wearing.
What are you wearing, Carl?
Matt.
So funny.
Right?
Whereas the Panerai requires no
explanation. So this is nothing, right? So there's rules for me buying watches. One, the most important rule, are chicks going to dig it?
Okay. Fair. Well, I think a lot of people, men, ask themselves that and then either just buy a Rolex or don't end up with the right watch.
So a Panerai is the non-thinking man's Rolex right now in the modern market. So I'll tell you why this watch is awesome. It has a lot of stuff going on, so it looks busy.
Yeah.
Guys like stuff that look like an airplane dial. You know what I mean? Like an altimeter. So that has that look, number one. Number two, the lume on it is fantastic. So when you go to strip clubs, you can see it. This is very important, guys.
Rolex, across the room. Rolex will talk about you can see the lume underground. And Carl's like, what will work best under black light?
Right. So, for example, for a Rolex, right, we call them in strip clubs, we call them Blue Thunders because they light blue.
Yeah, right?
So the strippers know that you're wearing a Rolex, a new one, when they're blue.
Because the lume has a blue tint to
it. So we call them Blue Thunders
at the strip club. That's so fucking funny, dude. And I knew I wouldn't need to direct this show at all.
And another thing about this Panerai, it's a reverse panda, right? So any dial that has another color is going to sell.
Is good.
Is going to sell good.
What if you have like a bunch of colors, like a Zenith El Primero?
That's not good.
That's out?
No, because then people will confuse it with something else.
Oh, okay.
So if you have one other color on it, you're good to go.
Okay, but not two other colors.
Two other colors might be a problem unless you're Hoyer or Bamford, who decides, you know what?
Look
at our new tag. It's polka dot. Fine. All right, here's my 70,000. I'm in.
Yeah. I think Panerais are like, people definitely notice what you're, it's got such an obvious shape.
It has such an obvious shape. The company has literally been run to the ground because they believe. You know, you ever watch news? Now everything's breaking news.
Yeah.
Well, Panerai's the breaking news of watches. It's limited editions for everything.
Right.
They're like, the new limited edition, what?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a McLaren. Every McLaren is a limited edition. Right. And if every McLaren's what is limited when everything
and
is
that
limited.
Hurts. And that hurts brands in the long run.
Right.
Like Omega, you know, one of my favorite watches is the Seamaster Chronograph 9300, right? It's a simple watch. It has a coaxial movement, which is a beast of a movement created by Mr. Daniels.
Is that this?
That's that one. Okay, that watch is beautiful.
I like that one for the chronograph, having two hands on one sub dial.
So that is as good as a watch can get. Look at how beautiful the hands are. The double arrows on the hands.
I like the. Now that you mention, I love that the minute hand goes all the way to the end.
I just corrupted you forever. So
am I fucked now?
Hand length is everything. Why don't you type up the Rolex Explorer? I know we're not talking about Rolex, but just if you want to watch that.
The two?
The regular one.
Okay.
Please look at the hands.
Let me get a good
picture.
It's
an embarrassment.
That's the new one.
They changed the hands. Rolex, they never admit a mistake.
Or the really old one.
It's literally a thing. Just type in Rolex Explorer shorthands. And you'll see.
Oh, shit, you're right.
That.
Holy shit, they really are that. Super short.
Look at the embarrassment.
The minute hand barely makes it to the minute markers.
So Rolex, in a very rare, and I own this watch because it's such a mistake, it's like a $3 bill, that they took the hands from the 36mm Explorer and just put it on a 40, and they thought it was going to be cool. And the Rolex people went insane. One of the few times Rolex had a market correction mid-production.
So is a shorthands one more valuable? Because
it's going to be.
It will.
It's
eventually
going to. Rolex collectors are the most counterintuitive, dumb people. They
Well, I had the error dial. I had the spider dial, which spider was worth dial. A lot of money.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. And the long E, which I, for the record, I can't fucking tell what a long E is in. Yeah. I've seen pictures of the long E. I can't tell. That
the best
it's
is
the long
when someone's
E.
like, I have a backward six Daytona. I'm like, just go home.
What just, was there Daytonas with a backward
there was,
six
there
on
was
them?
A couple. There was a couple Daytonas. You could type it in Rolex Daytona with a back. Not, we're going down a rabbit hole now.
Well, fuck it. Oh, no. Hang on.
I got a picture. I have this a picture problem. Of Ricky Rudd just showed up.
I have this problem. Where's the backward six?
You see these?
See?
Oh, hang on a second. Oh, I got you. I see Isn't what you cool? mean. Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we've got two Daytonas here. Hang on. Two Daytonas.
So
and
the
then
six
the one
looks
on the
like
left,
a nine. It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. Look at that.
Oh, okay. So the Daytona, it basically uses the inner dial as yeah. a, quote, floor.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't flip.
Yeah,
as it goes
and then the
other
one
is,
ah, I get it.
Right.
I get it. Okay.
And that's the watch that wins the championship for the most illegible watch.
Daytona's?
You'll never know what time it is.
I remember that. I called you when I got one as the demo, and I go, I can't fucking read this thing.
It is the most illegible watch. I don't even set it. I go like, what time is it? I just go like that. I just run my hand.
You know, I went in. I was trying to kill some time in Salt Lake City the other day.
Right.
And I had like 4 hours to kill before my flight. And I was like, my Batman GMT was just a little bit loose, and I don't have the Rolex pincher tool
right.
to do the micro adjusting. So there was a store not far away. I was like, let me go to the store and just have them adjust it real quick. I go in, and the guy behind the counter was a fan of the Smoking Tire. Right. Like, oh my God, you know, Matt Farah's in my store with the Rolex. Can we get a picture? Great. He was helping an older gentleman who was a client looking at a new watch, and he had probably 150 grand in gold Rolexes right. out in front of him. Gold right. GMT, gold sub, gold. And the guy, the old guy, figuring that I was somebody because I was wearing mesh shorts and a shitty, dirty shirt
right.
and a Batman that they didn't have in this fucking store. They figured I was a somebody. And this guy wanted to get a picture with me.
Right.
He goes, what do you think about these watches? And he goes, should I get this Daytona? And it was the Daytona that had, well, actually, this our picture here is still a good example. Imagine the same watch, but one had same colored subdials and one had contrast color subdials.
Okay.
The same color subdials one was in the store. The contrast one they couldn't get.
The panda.
Yeah.
The white gold panda.
Yeah. And the guy goes, what do you think? And I go, I can't read that one. And I think I cost them a sale because yeah. I was like, I can't read this thing.
I've had Daytonas my whole life. They're awful. They're awful.
I can't read them.
The units per hour on the outside is completely useless because, like, it's made to time a sporting event, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sporting events are pretty much outside.
Yeah.
And sporting events usually are sunny.
Yeah.
Like, especially car racing. You know what I mean?
Except for the 24 hours of Daytona.
Right. Which then this watch is completely useless.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do this at, throw it at somebody. I mean, you can hurt somebody with it. It could be a weapon. That's about it at night. They're awful.
So funny.
So, anyway, back to what makes watches what. Makes me practical about watches is I've never had a lot of money, so in my world it was always, can I flip this again?
Yeah.
And I started a very clandestine business, which you're gonna love. So I
like how you refer a clandestine, like what, like,
oh, you're gonna love it. Well, okay. I just read a Tom Clancy thing, so I'm all fucked.
So you're on the vocabulary.
I'm like Tyson with new words. I'm gonna use vituperate later.
That's so funny.
So, I hooked up with some lawyers in New York, and this started very young. I started very young. This lawyer calls me, goes, "There's this lady here. She's getting divorced." And, you know, she's trying to get the retainer, but she doesn't have a lot of money. But she has some of her husband's watches. Come and take a look at them. So I look at the watches, and I said, this one's worth this much, this one's this much, this much. He goes, can you get them sold for me? I can sell them in an hour.
Yeah.
So I take the watches, sell them, and then I bring him the money, and the girl gets the retainer. So I said, wait a second, I got myself a business.
Hell yeah.
So I created a small network of people, of lawyers, that when the husbands, the rich husbands, shut them out, the first thing they do is go for their watches because they're in the closet.
Yeah.
So he sends me a picture of the watches. I send them a check, and then I have an inventory of whatever, and I move
So
them.
You would just buy them?
I'd just buy them. So I would get crazy things. He would call me. He's like, what's this Patrick Phillip watch? I'm like, 30,000 on its way. He's like, fucking good job.
That's awesome.
He's like, it looks brass. I'm like, rose gold, bro.
What about what about like if the shit's engraved, then what happens?
Well, I have guys in different companies that'll take that the new case backs. I actually buy case backs on eBay
really?
All the time. Yeah.
Specifically
for that.
Is that like
especially Cartier, number one watch that women buy for men. And they always put something stupid on it. You know? Love you bunch.
I remember you told,
or Snuckles,
you told me
Snuckles, like some stupid
that
shit.
That if you wanted to meet girls, the gold Santos was the way.
Cartier is the... If you want to watch to impress girls, that actually runs, because get the old Cartiers, because Cartier is now making their own movements. Cartier, not a big vanguard in movement making. Kinda, like, when I think Cartier, I don't think about master watchmakers. But even though they're one of the oldest in the game, I mean, they literally, the Cartier Santos is arguably the first sports watch ever made.
Yeah. We've talked about it on the show like a million times. Yeah. You also, I loved your theory that women like square watches because round watches remind them of fat people.
Yes.
Which I thought was really, really funny.
Like, you ever wear a Jaeger with a Jaeger Reverso? Oh, yeah. Girls are like, oh my God. That's beautiful. It makes my wrist look so thin. And then you turn it around, and if you have like a monogram, but like a Tiffany style monogram, like really dope, like shit you put on your towels. Like if you have like a towel like monogram on it, she's like, oh my God, I want it so bad.
That's so funny. And then you have a theory on that, Cameron? Square watches for women?
I don't know. I mean, they're different. You don't see them very often, so it probably triggers special as well. Like that's unique. That's got to be special, more expensive, fancier.
That Cartier, and I'll tell this to everybody listening, if you want to watch that girls will compliment you, I guarantee you.
This one.
I put that there.
That's the one.
And if you do two-tone, they'll run through a window like a zombie. But that's my go-to watch. I was telling somebody a story. I was wearing my, and I wear the really tacky one, the XL 100, the one with the marbles.
The big one.
The big one. Where the glass is so thick, it looks like a bifocal.
Do you have the black and steel, or is there a rose gold one?
I have the two tone with the metal bracelet. As tack, I look like a Russian.
That's
kidnapper.
This one.
Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah, just in the large.
So
size,
I look like a Russian kidnapper when I wore that
for sure.
But I was at a bar, a really unsavory bar, that's where, if you don't see the people I hang out with, it'll make sense.
Every story about you begins in an unsavory bar. Right? Can't find a picture of one on someone's wrist.
And my friend had a 5701 or whatever Patek Nautilus.
Yeah.
I mean, the gold standard for douchebaggery, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
dude, if you go to Beverly Hills and you go to one of those, what's up, Nate and Al's in Beverly Hills? Yeah. You go to Nate and Al's. You will see groups of like Armenian dudes,
right.
Five of them, all wearing gold Nautiluses.
Oh, yeah. You know and the stainless steel Nautilus is the same guy. You ever get stuck with someone that wants to tell you the Porsche 993 changed his life?
All the time.
You're right. So the same people that worship the 993 fucking love the Nautilus, right? The same watch.
That is so funny.
So it's the same person, right?
Yeah.
Where the Cartier is like a convertible Beamer 3 Series to a girl. Like, she gets everything about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love the color.
And it's white with beige. Yeah. Right? So he was wearing his Patek, and I'm wearing the Cartier super tacky Russian kidnapper one. And this girl was just like, oh my God, that is everything. And my friend with the Patek is like, this is bullshit, bro.
It's like I overpaid my $45,000.
He's like,
for
I have
attention.
The original cork box, and she doesn't care.
Well, that's what you get with the, you know, the Submariner people, where it's like, oh, this Submariner is $100,000 because it's a mil sub, and you know,
and that guy's is $1,500, and it looks
and he bought a used Santos.
I bought a used Santos for $3,500.
Yeah,
two tone.
Yeah,
and it looks ridiculous, but every time I wear it. It's just a magnet. And I have a very pragmatic way of looking at watches. And I fell down the rabbit hole very young. But then I started saying, okay, wait a second. Everybody, calm down. There's only two vertically integrated companies that make watches anyway, which is Seiko and Rolex, right? Everyone else kind of brings parts from somewhere else and stuff like that. And every watch basically is a giant fucking ETA or something, or a Dupuis, you know, module or something. So then I said, wait a second. How much is marketing and how much is watchmaking, right? So my life cuts right in half. I love boutique watches, like a Weiss, right? This is something. It's something that you're going to wear forever. You don't want to sell it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, yeah, no.
It's something that you wear. It's like wearing like your comfy sneakers or sweatpants on Sunday. Like, oh, I mean, you know, it's beautiful. It's a field watch. It works. And then you have the show and go. And that is what you wear when you want to show off.
Yeah.
And watches are to show off. That level of watches. I mean, everyone has to agree with me, because if you ever watch a watch ad, they're fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're like the modern cigarette ads.
Yeah, it's like if you put this on, someone will blow you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And they do.
Well, and the Patek one, there's a lot of implications in a Patek ad where it's, oh, you pass it to the next generation. So they imply that a woman will have your baby.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're
and
wearing
they also, and they're also buffeting against the fact that you probably lose 15% to many of us. So make sure your kid gets it.
It'll come back up later.
It'll be worth money when your kid has money. Not when you do. And stop the Nautilus. I'm up to here. With Patek Nautiluses.
You're not about them anymore?
It's the people that got them now. You know, is that funny? It's
I
not
want
the
Aquanaut, actually.
The Aquanaut, like the Aquanaut World Timer and the is breathtaking.
I'm going to pull up Aquanaut.
Yeah.
Please pull it up. And can you pull it up with the orange band?
Yeah. The orange band is... Oh, wait, hang on. Can you get the...
Look at this thing!
That's fucking fire.
Holy shit.
I like it because it's like the right size.
Have you ever, one of the funniest things
is dope. Can you imagine a $50,000 watch with a rubber orange band on it? That shit is that 50, I think, for one of those?
It's about 50.
Yeah.
If you can find one.
Well, you got the chronograph as well. But you don't even really notice it because it's a sub dial and then the center hand. So it's just
so cool.
You know, 1 hour chronograph.
They do such good length on the.
Those hands, you know what these hands remind me of? The Audi B5 S4 gauges, which had the best. The B5 S4 gauges had the best needles. Like, let me get a picture of these. The Audi S4, it had these really, let me find one where they're lit up. It had these delightfully thick needles. These are all here we go. This is not the greatest picture. Oh, Jesus. It's not the greatest picture, but you see how thick these needles are?
Right.
And when they lit up at night, it really even accentuated the thickness of that needle. And that's what I see on the hands here.
I like
here.
That.
The really big thick
hands.
And
that's one of the things. The only thing I hate about that watch is, and I don't know why they do it. Why don't they color code the date wheel? I mean,
What do you mean? Make it orange?
It should be the color of the dial.
Yeah.
So that, and the number should be white.
Oh, yeah.
to hide the window. Right.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
such a like I'm paying 50 grand. Guys, did you have to use the standard fucking Patek date wheel?
Interesting.
You couldn't tell Becky down at parts the fucking. Hey, listen.
Reverse the colors.
Yeah. Listen, you know, we're one of the highest grossing companies in the world. You think we could just bang out a brown date wheel? You fuck.
I find there's some really expensive watches that have a very cheap looking date treatment.
It's my number one.
Why is that?
Even just unique font. You know, use your font from the dial.
Why are there two different fonts?
Why wouldn't they use? Yeah. Because that's the old. That date wheel comes from maybe they've used the same date wheel since the first Calatrava in the fucking 70s.
Wow.
It's disgusting.
Now that you mention it, it bothers the shit out of me.
It bothers the shit out of me.
You know who does the fucking date well? Is Grand Seiko.
Yes.
Grand Seiko. Here's just for shit. Just throw this down because Carl is the one is responsible for Grand Seiko.
Thanks, Bill.
Hi, Britton. Welcome back. Pull up a chair if you want to hang out over here. Grand Seiko. Oops. Look at the treatment of that. It's got a really nice like chrome window polished around it. That's really nice.
So look at that Grand Seiko, right? Look at all the attention they put to it.
And also look at the it's
number
even
one,
perfect.
What they did was one of the beautiful things about that watch is the date wheel is pushed all the way for symmetry to the end of the dial.
Right.
Now, Mr. Paddock here figures his company was started by Polacks. You know, it's a Polish. They were a Polish.
I never thought about that.
So okay. Here come the Polacks. So look what the Polacks did. It's literally, instead of bringing it in, making it dark, and looking like the Grand Seiko, they just put this thing. They put a lawn jockey in the middle of the dial. These are the things that make me nuts about watches.
So interesting. Grand Seiko does everything so perfectly, it drives you nuts.
Right.
It ruins other watches for you.
Look at the font, the 250 right next to it, and then the date is 25.
Look at
even
that.
The fonts are nice.
Look, yeah, 250. Right? You got a 250, a 25, and then the 15 on the subdials. They're all the same.
Don't
font.
Even get me started with the hands. Holy
shit. These are X-Acto knife blade hands.
They're beveled and polished.
They polish the backsides of them. If you can get, there's a way to get a photograph. I was able to do it once, and I've seen it done on the internet a couple times, where the hands will reflect back onto the dial because they polish the undersides of the hands on the
spot. Just look at the spring drive go.
Fucking I mean, rad. Give me that. I'm going to wear this thing right now. I want to wear it.
But what makes Grand Seiko great also makes Grand Seiko a problem, right? Because it's a very... They sometimes over-engineer the love out of them, right? Grand Seiko has a problem where they don't do passion well.
No. Well, you know where they do it?
It's
they
a
do
very
it in the...
sexless swatch. Like, that. You wear that all day. That Grand Seiko.
This is invisible pimping.
It's invisible, right? I call it stealth wealth.
Yeah.
Now, that Panerai that I'm wearing is literally, it's just complete Italian stupidity. Like, what's with the reverse, you know, Cyclops? That's weird, but people like it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, is that a bubble that goes backwards? Technology!
What do you mean?
It goes the date in wheel... instead of out, like the Rolex Cyclops?
Yeah, look.
Yeah.
Oh, shit! I didn't realize that. Yeah, it goes on the underside of the crystal.
Yeah,
that was started by another nightmare of a company called Audemars Piguet.
Yeah,
he used to work there.
Oh, did
they,
you?
Well, they do.
What did you do? Fix everything because they don't work.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, watchmaker. They did. So they had the modules,
right?
And they actually put the magnifying glass in the dial.
Yeah.
So, the date wheel is on the movement. The module is up here, stacked.
Which watch are we talking about, Kevin?
Royal Oak.
The date was so tiny because it's so deep in the movement under the module. That they had to put a magnifying glass in the dial to magnify it.
Really?
So the Royal Oak offshore.
Offshore?
These guys here.
All right. Uh-oh. This is a terrible picture. Oh, it's all gone wrong. Oh. Hey, Royal Oak offshore. Hold
on. The extreme.
Yeah. But if you look, you can see that within the dial is where the...
Oh, yeah, here, right? Yeah. Is that it?
It's harder to see on the new ones. Wait, they've done a better job. But
this one?
Yeah, the older ones you can really see.
There it is.
So you see how it looks a little... Well, it's
not,
kind of a crappy
picture.
God,
when you zoom in the picture, it doesn't really help. But
they put the magnifying glass in the dial instead of
cool.
on the crystal.
It's an interesting way to go
great.
About it.
And you know what? What's perfect about the AP date is, number one, it's atrocious, the font that they use.
Yeah.
But what's even better is the magnifying glass under the glass makes it absolutely impossible to know what day it is, no matter what.
Yeah, it does. It, like, distorts it.
It's so distorted on every angle.
Oh, look at that.
But you can see how deep it is back
it's
in
really,
there.
It's really, yeah.
It's behind the chronograph mechanism.
Wow. Oh, yeah, it's, like,
movement.
Under the dial and it's, like, through everything.
Yeah,
it
so
is.
You're looking through the chronograph mechanism.
Wow. That's like having one of those, like, in a muscle car where they put the fucking tack out halfway down the hood.
And AP never changes the length of their hands, and it makes me insane.
Oh, these hands don't go all the way either.
Look at
this one kind of does. This one does.
Yeah. That's because that's the older
offshore that's the older
that was smaller.
Oh!
Yeah.
So the bigger
the
watch
bigger
gets,
the watch,
they
the
use the
hands.
Same fucking
that's
hands.
So crazy.
It'll make you, it makes me, it literally.
Oh, this show's
for
just going to be
for
called
offshore,
Carl Ruins Watches. Wait, let's bring it back, Carl. Let's bring it back to the beginning. Okay, where else do you want to put your money in a good watch and have your money be safe?
Money be safe.
Or maybe make some.
All right. So the first thing you want to do is not buy them new.
Obviously. But you'd think so. CrownandCaliber.com.
Yeah.
Code CAM150. I'll give you $150 if you listen to the show and buy a watch. That's it. $150. Yeah. You were like, what's $150? A $5,000 watch. If you saw $150 on the ground, you'd fucking pick it up, wouldn't you?
I literally walk around
looking. Jeff Bezos would pick up $150 off.
I literally walk around looking for money.
It's LA. You'll probably find some.
I'll find some. But,
yeah, buy used.
You got to buy used. You got to buy something that someone else wants.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't trust your own taste. Chances are you have none.
That's. Can you put that on a shirt? Yeah. That's fucking. That's. I mean, your nuggets of wisdom are so like just boiled down into one line.
Right.
Don't trust your own taste. Odds are you have none.
Right.
It's fucking great.
So you got to look for stuff. Make sure.
What does everybody else want?
What everybody else wants, a black watch. Not a black case. Not like
it's a black dial.
Black dial
yeah.
is usually the best.
Okay.
Rotating bezels, people like to buy those.
So a dive watch.
Like a dive watch.
Or a GMT kind of watch.
Or a GMT. Like one a great watch to buy used is a Breitling Super Ocean Heritage 46. So let's look at the mechanics of this watch. Let me tell you why this is a great watch to
right
buy
here?
Used. Yeah. Okay, this watch. You can probably buy used.
Oh, this is not. I have to redo. I'm sorry. My settings for search are not correct, and I'm getting small pictures, and it's a real problem. And now we're gonna fix that.
Okay. You know so much computer shit.
I've have to learn how to produce a podcast in real time. It's all fucking hard. Okay, here we go.
So let's
classic look at, shape.
Classic shape, right?
Recognizable brand.
Recognizable brand. It has waterproof. Applied. Things on it. Anything with a dial that has 3D, people like. And I'm talking about. I'm selling this to someone that doesn't know, right?
You're so the indices here,
they're applied.
Are applied, not painted on.
Not painted on.
Yeah, yeah.
Real watch guys like painted dials. Non-watch guys like applied dials.
Super nerds like radium.
Exactly.
I read that book, The Radium Girls.
Right.
Fucking. I had a curiosity about a radium watch. The destruction. That radium caused in watches.
Watches killed everybody. Watches literally killed.
And in horribly painful, disgusting, fucked up ways.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy.
So here's a watch, right? So I'm going to show you. This watch you probably knew was like $5,000.
Yeah.
Used probably $2,500.
Yeah.
That's a good
number. It's a good $2,500.
That's a good $2,500 number. It comes with a Milanese band. This watch is so fucking shiny.
Yeah, it's all high polish, right? It's all
this. Everything's polished in it.
Yeah.
The box is polished. It literally is. Yeah. It's like a black onyx polished box. The cloth that they give you to clean the lens is polished. So this is a typical watch. It has a date, right? In the worst place possible.
I hate the date there.
The date
unless it's a big date. The big date, I don't mind if it's there like this Glashütte, but
right.
The small dates sucks.
But it has a cool font. I love Breitling font. See how cool that 9 is? That's a really nice font.
I actually really like the Super Ocean script.
Super Ocean. This is a watch with pedigree, so it comes from an original Super Ocean watch. It's completely useless as a diver.
But it's good enough to go in the shower or the pool.
Right, but
or
look
whatever.
At the onion crown on it. It has a lot of little details that people will really, really enjoy for a long time, right? So you could wear this with a suit. You could wear it with shorts. It's a recognizable brand.
Yeah.
Is Breitling my favorite? Absolutely not. Do I know I can move a Breitling? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Just to go to this real quick, throw this under there, Cameron. I had this loaner from Crown & Caliber. This is the Navitimer. And this is the Navitimer, I think it's called Caliber 01. It has their newer movement.
Right.
And normally I don't care about new versus old, but they changed the configuration of the subdials.
Right.
So you can tell. The subdials in the new movement are 369, and in the old one it's 6912. So you can tell the difference.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And you see them side by side in the stores and you can tell.
Wow.
This is one of a very few watches that I've ever worn that strangers have complimented me on it. A lot of strangers were like, that's a nice Navitimer. And I really like that it's this the brown color and not the white. You know where I see a I'm in the Delta first class lounge a lot.
Right.
I really want to do an entire show.
You go first class?
I have status.
Wow.
It's all about volume.
I was boarding group D. Yeah. And it only went up to C. Yeah. I was literally part of the engine. Yes. Coming here.
But I want to do a whole show on watches I spot in the first class lounge. Because it's all Navitimers, Submariners, and what's the fucking other dress watch that everybody wears? Not Cartier's. Jesus Christ. Blech. Oh, my God. It's going to come back to me at the worst time. Either way, Strangers came out to me. I really enjoyed actually wearing this watch. I thought it sat well and looked good on me, and the leather band was comfortable, and the clasp was good. I think it's like $6,500 at Crown and Caliber.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet watch, though.
It's a good value.
Yeah.
With the in-house caliber, right?
Yeah, and it looks it's got the display back. It looks really nice, limited to 1,000 pieces. And some dude on Reddit posted a series of things on how to use it. Like how to actually do the math.
Oh yeah.
And our explanations on the Breitling show were not very good. But he did diagrams, visuals.
That yeah, you read really that good. And then you forget it 5 minutes
yeah,
later.
Yeah, totally.
It's
but
tough.
It was there. But
I'm a fan of Navitimers.
They're not, that one's nice. I think that one
I'm a
came
fan
out
of glass to edge. Like when something is so it has so much
yeah,
face
that's right.
to it. Mm. You know what I mean? It's just a beautiful watch. And I love big Navitimer. This is a great watch.
That one's got. There's a lot going on that dial, though.
I like the chestnut.
The colors are great, right?
Great color.
That's a sweet one. I like that a lot better than I like the white one.
This is a great watch.
So, all right, Super Ocean's a good one. I like your pick there. Cameron? What do you think about a good used watch to invest in that's not a Rolex?
Ooh, not a Rolex.
Yeah.
Breitling Navitimer, I think.
Yeah.
That's a solid one. But then if you're looking at Omega.
Omega?
Yeah. If you get a used Omega Seamaster, you're going to do fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any specific one? Just general?
Well, now it's a little more complex because they actually changed the design.
Yeah.
So the older ones are not quite as valuable. But if you get the newer ones and you get it used.
Yeah. I don't like the ones from the mid-2000s, they're kind of with the funky, weird bands on them. I do like the Planet Oceans.
Yeah, right. That's the old style.
This is my favorite Seamaster. I almost bought one of these once. Spike talked me out of it, but I actually really like the orange bezel on this. I think black and orange works together here.
I love that watch.
These are four grand used.
I don't like it on the bracelet. I like when you go full orange with the orange rubber strap. Yeah. Especially the new Omegas, they have great. They have great deployment clasps on them.
Yeah.
I think that's. I love that watch, I really do. I like the old orange chrono, which is
we just look, didn't we just look at that one?
Yeah,
I think we had that one up before. Where's the chrono? We just had it. Oh, here it is. Right.
Yeah, that's the old one.
It's still pretty cool looking watch.
That's a cool watch. Look at the little orange accents on the pushers.
On the ends of the pushers. That's very cool.
That went full.
Although
orange.
That's a short hand, brother. That's a really short minute.
No,
hand.
No, no. You're
no,
missing,
no. It's
you're
the GMT.
The
it's got the arrow.
Oh,
at the
it goes
end.
To the end.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad.
But the hour hand is a little short.
It is a little short.
I think I ruined you.
You fucking killed me on this one. Throw another one out there. It's what else?
And then you have little things that you can do. Can you click on this? I think the most beautiful Omega ever. Go, right. Next one. That one.
Oh, the black and white?
With the GMT bezel. This is.
If you see it in real life, one of the most stunning fucking watches I've ever seen.
Have you seen the
look
blue
at
dial?
This is the blue dial with the straight lines on it.
The black and white Seamaster GMT. That's bitchin'.
This is bitchin'. And let me
tell you, never see them in stores though.
No, this is hard to every people that actually like watches get it. It has one problem, which is the font on the date is way too small for the fonts on the face. And it should match the GMT.
It's also a different font.
Right. Doesn't this start to make sense?
This is now going to drive me insane.
Yes.
Why
right?
Is it,
look at these eights right
why
next to each
like
other.
Why would it be that right eight? Next to, it's like a different font.
Why?
It looks stupid.
Why?
Especially like it should be the same as where the nine is. Like,
come on.
But nevertheless, the black and white GMT bezel is
that
rad.
Watch is. It does everything you want, right? It's an actual real complication that you can use.
Yeah.
I mean, we all travel. It has a GMT. But the black and the white is so crisp. It goes with everything. And always buy watches like you buy a tuxedo, black and white.
Yeah.
You know, because – and I'm just telling you, like the blue thing is literally going to get weird. Everybody, like now, everything's blue now.
On this, you could put that orange strap on it as well.
The orange strap would look cool on this. Yeah. You could put when you have black and white, you can match anything. Color with that. So right. You could buy a dozen straps that work with this thing. Yeah.
This is one That's of my cool. favorite Omegas. One of my favorite Omegas.
What do
my,
these things go for used?
35.
Is that all?
35, 4.
Yeah. All day.
All fucking look
all
at
day.
It.
It's a great looking watch.
And but what I like about it, it's the most understated Omega, and it has everything I like. I like a lot of writing on dials. It's just me. I like a lot of information.
Yeah.
You know. Just,
well, yeah. You don't have the basic Panerai. You've got the busy Panerai.
Yeah, I like.
You could
busy
get a basic
shit.
Panerai with a sandwich.
It doesn't
dial.
Say anything. It's like, hey, I'm a school clock. I'm the worst diving watcher. You know the Italians were terrible. Yeah. Divers. I mean, if that's what they were using, it's awful. I think that's a great investment watch. Mm. And then there's a watch that people should buy now that they're going to stop making. So Eterna is going out of business.
Right? Are they?
Yeah. So Eterna is a really interesting watch. You know, they're the original ETA. The ETA.
Oh, Eterna? Is that where it came from?
That's,
yeah.
That's, oh, they made that. The ETA. And if you look at their logo, it's the five ball bearings of the original ETA movement.
Huh.
So they make a watch that's called...
Oh, there it is. Yeah, here we go. Eterna. Yeah, 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 okay.
So there's a cool watch that they make that's going to be worth money in the long run. It's called the Eterna Super Contiki Diver.
I mean, it's a great name. Was a good picture of this guy.
So let me
this
go
guy?
Right. The one on the left.
This one?
Right.
Okay.
So they made one. No, no. Go to that one up there.
Right here?
Keep going right there.
This one?
Yeah. So let me tell you about this watch. This is one of my favorite watches out there. You can.
It's a pretty watch, man.
It's pretty. And the second hand is gorgeous. It's the pointy one.
This one is the second hand? So this is the square head
that's
is the hours?
Is the hour.
This is the minutes.
That's the minutes. And then that giant
thing
is the second
three
hand.
Hands that look
nothing like
each other.
Right? So this
how
I'm a big hand
weird
guy.
Weird is that?
It's got a frame date. It's got applied numerals. It's got a yellow triangle on it. And these are all things that I love.
It's got interesting
this watch
elements.
Was made in 1971. For the Israeli commandos.
Oh, okay. They don't fuck around.
They don't fuck around. So this watch was built just for Israeli commandos. They reissued this watch. It's called the 1973 Eterna Super Contiki. You can get this watch for $1,000.
Really?
And it is.
Wow.
It has all the heritage in the world. It's 44 millimeters, shiny.
Yeah. So it's got shiny and lecturability.
Shiny.
Yeah.
Lecturability, right? Because you could really like. Carl, what are you wearing? Oh, sir. You dumb
Israeli
man.
Military.
1973 Special Forces Commando Israeli watch. It comes with a beautiful bracelet.
Is this the regular bracelet?
That's the regular bracelet.
Wow.
And it has an airplane-like seatbelt deployment clasp. That
no
goes,
way.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Really?
It weighs a ton. It's shiny. You can get them for $1,000, $1,200.
Wow, I got to send Crown and Caliber out to find one of these things. And I imagine it's an ETA movement, right?
Yeah,
but
here's why I love
ETA.
Eterna.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, I'm wearing an ETA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's their movement.
Yeah.
So technically, it's an in-house movement.
That's like, what are you driving today? An LS engine. like you're just driving an LS. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Eterna to me is one of the best. One of the best finds for watches, and this one particularly, the hands are so fucking awesome. And let me tell you, I own this watch, and it's so delightful to have a giant second hand because I like things
because things it moves
and it's constantly moving. So
you look
at it, and there's a lot going.
I like a lot of movement. I mean, I think a lot of people do. That's how you end up with these watches that have like. Four escapements.
Right.
You know,
people like to see movement.
Because people want
to
see shit moving
Triple
around.
Tie-ons.
Yeah.
Like, I love movement, and then you have Jacob and Company.
Dude, they're
I'm like,
fucking nuts.
I'm like, why is there a piano in here? Literally a piano in my
life. I've seen that one. What is it called? The opera or some shit?
It's.
Wait, hang on. Jacob.
It's called the Sean Puffy Combs.
I think it's the
2.0.
opera, right? That has the fucking piano in it?
Oh, I don't know.
I swear
it
is. No, I swear. Where is it? Yeah, look, right. It's got a player. It has a fucking player piano in it.
Yeah.
It's look, here's the one. It's got the scroll, and it plays you a fucking tune.
And people dancing, huh?
Oh my! Do you think you can, for a million, can you get it to play whatever song you want? Or does it only play one song?
I think if I had $1 million and that's what I bought, I don't think I would have another million for a long time.
You can't be trusted with this million.
So that's what I like to do. I like to find like off brands that are going sideways. Another one, GP, Gerard.
Perigo?
Perigo.
Yeah.
So they make a watch called the Loretto.
I find.
So, there it is.
This guy?
That's the guy. So, go down, right to the right, to the right, to the right, 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 down. That one.
This one?
Right.
Okay.
So, look at this. These made these watches.
There's a lot of AP elements in this.
This is a copy of an AP. So, this watch, GP makes unbelievable movements, right? But they can't get a foothold. They've made too many different things. So, these are called the Evo, the Evolution-style Lorettos. 44 millimeters, perfect.
Yeah.
Busy dial.
Yeah.
Cameron, you would say that's a hobnailed dial?
What do they call it? It's not guilloche. Tapestry.
Tapestry,
yeah.
Yep.
So it's got a tapestry dial, big date in red, I'm all fucking in.
Right? Yeah. Right?
Moon face, so you know.
It's got a weird moon face in a light weird blue.
Yeah.
And it has a power reserve. Perfectly sized hands, and it's got a cool case that mimics things that are three times the money. Now, that watch new was about $14,000.
Uh-huh.
And that watch you can pick up for $3,000.
Really?
$2,500. Oh, and you're getting a lot.
Yeah.
A lot for your money.
Power reserve, I think, is my favorite useful complication.
I love power reserve.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I like knowing how much fuel I have in my tank.
Well, yeah, you're a car guy. It's a gauge.
Yeah. It's a real gauge. Yeah.
So, and the reason I show you this is because now I'm going to show you what the sister company. There's a company called Jean Richard, and that was the cheaper GP.
Okay.
And they are going out of business.
Okay. What is there a model called?
Go to the Jean Richard Aquaterra. All right. Okay. Now look at these things.
Oh wow.
So these things.
This guy here.
You can look at that one, right?
What happened to my searches? My searches are not on fucking large images anymore. This shit is not... Wow, this guy?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Wait, let me get a better picture.
Really cool watches.
So what's this about? I don't think I've ever heard of one of these. So Cameron, you ever heard of one of these before?
Yeah, I know Jean Richard.
You do?
So yeah. Jean Richard is basically GP, right?
Okay.
And they made these super...
Like in the same way that Tudor is basically
this
Rolex.
This is the Tudor.
This is the Tudor of GP.
Okay. Exactly. Like GP will use really nice movements in their watches, like Frederic Piguet movements and GP movements. Jean Richard is going to be Etabase.
Etabase, which what that means. It's going to work.
It's going to work. You can service it around the corner.
That's like when I went to get a Cartier. I'm like, what, is this the new movement? They're like, yeah. I'm like, can I get the old one? I'm like, because you and Pepe Le Pew over there don't look like you know what you're fucking doing. So,
that's awesome.
So look at now these watches. Are the most underrated and beautiful watches you can get for under $1,000 right now on eBay. It's got all the pedigree in the world, the texture on the dials. Look at that second hand.
Are the indices applied?
Indice applied.
I really
proper
like about
date
this,
wheel.
The color of the hands against the color of that dial.
And they make 100 different ones of this.
Oh, all the different colors and stuff?
Oh, my God. They made one that I've been trying to find. They made it out of aluminum.
Really?
Right. Whoa. So it's
Let me see if I can find it.
Aluminum.
Let's see if I can find the aluminum.
There it is. With all the colors. Go to the right. Go to the right. Go to the right. Go to the right. That one. That's what I'm looking for.
This one?
Look at that thing.
Wow. All that's, anodized aluminum?
All cool. Anodized aluminum.
Oh, how interesting.
And it looks like a toy in real life.
It's a swatch.
It's up absolutely beautiful. But look at the different colors and everything. So the Terrascopes to me are the best thing you can buy on the market right now. These watches new were $5,000.
Huh.
They're going for $900 brand new.
Fuck.
On eBay.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I literally, every once in a while, like I have a bad day. You know how people eat ice cream? I buy a Terrascope. And they have other watches that are unbelievable. If you go on eBay, go to Jean Richard.
Oh boy, hang on.
Watch this.
Let's see what eBay has to offer. Oh, wow.
Look
Terrascope.
At that.
Oh, God. They're cheap.
Yeah.
$665.
And the looks on them are unbelievable.
It's $800. They're all like under $1,200.
Under $1,200, and you're getting some serious, serious quality.
Yeah.
Wow. And they're fun.
They are
fun. And they're really, really fun.
Oh, there's a lot. This one looks like Bamford.
Oh, yeah. Bamford will probably get... You could put Bamford on and charge $20,000.
Yeah. I found a
These
guy...
These are little Panerai-esque.
Look at that.
Right?
This one looks like it knocked off your watch.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a busy dial.
Oh, but, you know, yeah. I love that shit. But yeah. It's brown that don't sell. Don't buy it.
Buy it now. Don't buy brown. Is that a good
brown.
Rule?
Don't buy brown unless it's a GMT Rolex from the
70s. Oh, yeah. Unless it turned brown over
unless
time.
Unless it turned brown because yeah. The guy was from Tahiti.
Dude, our buddy our buddy Matt Jacobson came in here. Remember that?
That yeah, that
Submariner?
Was gorgeous.
Holy shit. He came in with a Submariner that was a blue-blue.
Right.
And it... None of it was still blue. It all turned the same colored
perfect brown.
And I was like, this was blue? Like, it just didn't look. It didn't look like it could have even been blue. It was crazy.
I was with Gordon Ramsay, and he's a big watch guy. And I look at his watch, and I see a NATO strap from far away. And I'm like, hey, chef, is that a milli sub? He goes, I fucking hate it.
Really? Yeah. What? Did he elaborate?
Well, he just, because it was, you know, plexi crystal.
Yeah.
In the kitchen,
yeah.
Scratching like
yeah.
Shit.
Well, that's why I can't have vintage, because I scratch them up. And the new watches are just so much tougher if you smash one into something.
I got to tell you, with vintage watches, I've had it. I've had it. Number one, we live in the golden age of watchmaking, right?
Yeah.
The technology now, the ability to CAD things that work. I mean, I have vintage watches. I have a watch that I love. It's called the Omega Speedmaster 125, which was the first chronograph. There it is. It's so dope and ginormous.
This 70s
yeah,
thing?
Right here. Look at it.
Wow. This is like a super 70s. Is this like a Jajaro kind of design?
How cool is that? Whoever designed it, look at the numbers, how they put them sideways.
There's a lot going on this watch.
So this watch is very heavy, very beautiful, very rare. But guess what? It's old, and it works old. You know, it works.
Wait,
old.
Is this tacky me? Is this always sideways?
Yes!
The entire, all the numbers
it's
on the
so
bezel.
So glitchy. It's just a glitchy, glitchy watch.
So weird.
But I went from vintage watch. So I'll tell you this watch, right? The Omega 125. I said, wow, you know, it's a spacey looking watch and stuff like that. And I sold it, and I bought one of my favorite watches called the Sin 140.
Okay.
And Sin 140s to me are one of the coolest watches. It's a space watch. You know, it went to the moon or went to Russia. I don't know. So it was in the air somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And Sin makes some of the most legible dials that
I
like.
Yeah, pilot watches kind of stuff. Yeah.
Helmut Singh. I mean, he makes unbelievable. If you ever want to buy a watch, you buy a Sin 140. They're so fucking cool. And they're so inexpensive. And they're so badass.
Just this?
Go to the next one.
That?
I mean, just a beautiful watch. And it's good for the movement nerds. It has a Lamina 5100, which is the chronograph runs on the outside of the watch, not in the subdials.
What do you mean? Oh, the yellow hands are the chronograph
one,
hands?
One will tell you, give you a 30-minute across the whole dial,
which is
a really cool way to do a chrono.
Yeah.
And Sin is great. And Sin is one of those companies that that completely love third party movement.
And, unashamedly.
And I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, like, I had a guy, he bought an RM whatever. You know,
yeah.
RM02 or something. The Ferrari one. What's his name? That's Massa. Felipe Massa. So he's like, Carl, find me one. So I find it to him. I got it to him for, I think I got it for $190,000, $200,000. So he gets the watch. Loves it. Breaks it.
Oh boy.
He's like, hey, you got a guy that can fix it? I'm like, send it in.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
He calls me back. He goes, I need you to sell this watch for me. I said, what? He goes, I'm like, what did they tell you? He's like, $17,000.
To fix it.
Yeah. I said, and that's going to be the future. People don't understand. What's going to do the watch market in is when these things have to go back.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my God, it has movement. It's like the same people that say that 38 millimeter watches are cool.
Yeah.
Like, you ever say,
don't tell him, he just came out with a 38.
No, I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I'm a big watch guy. But like, people are like, oh my God, that watch would be perfect. You see in the blogs?
Oh, perfect if it was 38 or 2 millimeters.
Oh, that watch would be perfect if it was 32 millimeter from 1912. I'm like, you look like a fucking librarian.
You know, I find people say that on the internet, that it would be perfect if it was a few millimeters.
But they don't buy them.
And then they don't buy them.
In person, they always gravitate towards 42 or 44. That's always 40. In person.
See, like field watches, this is 42. I love it.
That's a great size watch. Yeah. For me, it's 42 to 45 is where
A field watch.
Yeah.
Right? Because a field watch is all glass.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You get to see the detail. Smaller than this, I'm out.
So I'm going to end this show and in a minute, and then we're going to go to I'm going to end on this. But first, a couple questions from Super Chat folks. Just a couple. This is a weird day because we're doing a watch show on the car channel. But, you know, it happens. We talked about how the chronograph is an abusive complication on the watch. What can you do to avoid any issues with a daily worn chrono? Cameron?
There's not really anything you can do to avoid it. It's part of the design. So you can get a quick reset, quick start and stop. Use it, enjoy it, and when it needs service, it needs service.
Yeah.
And get it serviced at with a proper watchmaker who's going to replace the parts that really need to be replaced rather than try and make old parts work.
I think you can just, if you don't start and stop it 100 times a day, then it's just
fine. Don't play with it early.
What's he timing?
I don't know. Yeah. But I think when we talked about our chronographs episode, we talked about how the resetting is an abusive process.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, as far as movements go.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's bad. It's not
but if
you
have like a nervous tick or something and you're just start, stop while you're sitting in a meeting or something, that'd be bad.
Yeah. Get a Seiko Solar Quartz chrono and just do it forever.
Totally.
Yeah.
We could do a whole other show on Seiko. Have we done a Seiko show yet? We haven't. We should. Carl is a big Seiko enthusiast.
I have a question for Cameron Rice, even though I have to give you $5.
Not when you're in studio.
So what's your take on watch
show
blinders?
The watch. Oh, did I? I'm sorry. I think I didn't bring the sin over. I apologize, people. I didn't bring the sin over. I'm sorry. Here it is.
For a watch winder, I think, unless you have a complication like a perpetual calendar,
right,
where you want to be able to pull your watch out and it actually has the right time,
right,
and also a lot of times people will damage a perpetual calendar when they're trying to set it,
right.
So you want to minimize the number of times you have to try and set it,
right.
So put that in a winder,
right,
so that it always is correct. So you're not setting it every time you wear it. Everything else, like a regular automatic, or just even sometimes people with like an old Submariner that doesn't have quick set, they'll put it in the winder,
right,
just so that the date's always right or whatever, but it really isn't great for the movement to keep it running all the time. It's better to let it sit in a cool, dry place, in a drawer.
It's like leaving your car running.
You don't need to idle your car so that the clock is right when you go out.
And if you have an annual calendar, I mean, you're kind of a douchebag.
I keep my IWC on a winder, perpetual, and it's the only one I keep
but that's
on a winder.
A sick, giant, big pilot.
It's
a fucking high five. That thing is awesome.
I got it in the box. It's down there. And lastly, these guys, there's a company called Nova Watch, and Cameron can take this out.
Nova Watch.
It's a micro brand.
Are these guys in Canada?
They're in Canada.
Okay, yeah.
I love Canada.
They sent us this, and they offered to let us keep it, but I'm going to give it away on Instagram. This is not a cheap watch. And what they do, I'll describe it, what it is in the letter. They use pieces of actual rail, to make the cases on these watches. And so this says, here we go.
That's a nice watch.
This is the Barrow 1885 RR Frankenstein edition. The reason for Frankenstein is because it's a mix of a few pieces. The case and dial are made of railroad that was manufactured in 1885 by the Barrow Hematite Steel Company in England. The case back is made from railroad track manufactured in 1884 in Wales. This is the one and only watch featuring these two features. We also hand engrave the movement for a little extra love. I hope you and the new owner enjoy it. We love what we do and work every day to produce the world's most storied timepieces with as much of a human element in them as possible. So, yeah, it's made of railroad track.
Yeah, you can even see it.
It's pretty cool, right?
Check that out. It has the old kind of like patina, I guess.
So this is like, you know, it's sort of a thing with these new micro brands is repurposing materials. I've seen watches that are made from junked cars, right. Mustangs and Porsches.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
seen, you know, watches that have like reclaimed wood as dials or different materials that have been melted down and to be made into other things.
Or Vortic with the movements.
The movements yeah. from pocket watches.
What was that watch that that had a piece of the Titanic?
Oh, that was Romain Jerome, right?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Can I personally tell you that I personally hate Romain Jerome?
The case was made
from the Titanic.
From the Titanic
that, I have to pull that up. Like, that's fucking crazy. Really?
Like a rusty watch.
Is this actually it? It's 10 G's, huh?
Wow, yeah.
Romain?
The price has dropped. Jerome.
That's the DNA yeah. steampunk. No, the Titanic. Keep going. The Titanic one's that, there's that piece of shit.
Which one? This one?
Yeah, on the left here.
Blech.
Right. It's not a good looking watch.
It's not.
Oh my god, that's
look
a terrible looking watch.
Short the hour.
That's cold as ice. So wait, let's go back to this. Let's go back to this.
I like
Nova
this watch
thing. I think it's pretty cool, right?
I like this.
Put it back under the scope so the folks can share with us.
You know what I really I like about that watch? I like it I just had a stroke because
unapologetically
of what I do in my personal life. But the how white the hands are, it actually makes that watch unbelievably legible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
clear. If you didn't have that, if they were like silver,
I
it
am
would blend
so
in.
About legibility. Like I've changed so much with watches. I've become so particular. I said, you need to do your main job correctly.
Which is tell the time.
Tell the time, please. Yeah. If you can't do that, then it doesn't make any sense to me.
The machine dial is pretty cool on here, too.
I really like the dial, yeah. Marks. And I like that the second hand is at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell they rotated the entire
movement. Yeah.
And I like that it's Canadian. They engraved, I'm sorry, on the back.
Flip it over. The movement is highly decorated.
Yeah.
What movement is this, Cameron?
I believe it's a Swiss ETA 6497.
Is that sort of similar to the design of your movement?
Yeah, very
similar kind of thing.
Yeah, similar 17 jewel manual wind.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's well finished. I don't know what these actually go for. And this one, I mean, look, we'll throw it under. This says one of one, assembled by Steve C. And I'm gonna give this watch away to a fan on Instagram.
Wow.
I think it's like $1,000. I don't think it's a cheap watch.
I can't believe Sabor Chef on Instagram won.
Speaking of which, let's plug him. Sabor Chef on Instagram. Follow Carl. He's the fucking funniest Instagram follow ever. Carl is a mandatory Instagram follow. Just everything about his Instagram is gold. Everything about it. Especially you find some good cars too for the car folks out there.
You got
good car friends.
I do have good car friends.
Yeah, you got all kinds of good car
My
friends.
My friend just got the GT40, the new GT40.
Oh, the new 4GT? It's
and
crazy, right?
And he's so wealthy and he has so many cars that he actually tells the truth.
Yeah.
I go, how do you like it? He goes, I fucking hate it.
Really?
I said, why? He goes, it seems to be there's a little rock somewhere in here.
Oh.
And the noise makes me want to drive it off a cliff.
So the new 4GT has like almost no sound deadening in it.
It's making him nuts.
Yeah.
This is a guy that drives an F40.
Well, this is, like, you know, this is what happens, you know, when you have a homologation race car as opposed to something like the McLaren 720S, which is sort of the ultimate expression of a road car.
Right.
The 4GT is really a race car. And so there's like, no fucking wheel well liners. Like, there's like all this shit you could take out of it. And so, if you go over a rock or gravel or something, you hear every bit of that. And so, you know, everyone talks about wanting light cars, light carbon fiber, thinner materials, aluminum, but you need weight to insulate the car. And the lighter you make a car, the more like the race car it is, the more you're going to hear everything around you. And so, I understand that.
Yeah, he was very, very, very not happy because he's very wealthy and he does whatever he wants whenever he wants.
I like it.
He's like, there's a pebble in this car and I'm literally going to sell it.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to kill this show right now. Weiss Watch Company, of course. Did Whitney say you guys have new models? What do you got?
So we got one thing. You got to sign up for our email list.
Okay.
Sign up for our email list. We have a super secret launch that is taking place today and tomorrow. So sign up now.
Only the live audience is going to get
exactly.
That
sign up now or sign up tomorrow when everybody else hears it. But hopefully it's not sold out by then.
Nice.
Super secret launch in the email.
Of course, Weiss Watch Company on Instagram. Cameron M. Weiss on Instagram. You got that Alan Edmonds combo.
That's right, yeah.
With the shoes. Yeah. Match it with your shoes. Yeah, I like that. And that's one. Didn't that sell out in like a day?
Yeah, well, we're making a limited edition of 100 pieces. We've only made the first 10, and it sold out immediately. Those first 10 in November, the rest of the 90 will drop.
Nice. Can you so can you actually order one still?
You cannot pre-order.
Ooh.
So
it's released.
Be ready.
By.
Be ready in November. All right. Cool. If you're looking for one of those.
Sounds great. And of course, you know me, The Smoking Tire on Instagram, The Smoking Tire. For those of you who caught us live and you're like, why the fuck are you talking about watches? This is The Smoking Tire. I don't have watch and listen set up yet. We just decided last minute to do it live. So if you're, I hope you enjoyed it, The Smoking Tire people. If not, this show will go up on the Watch and Listen podcast on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Next week, Carl's sticking with us, and we are doing the history and watches of Rolex.
And I'm going to make shit up.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you which Rolexes you should buy that really are under the radar. There's three of them that nobody knows about.
I like it. Carl Ruiz, thank you for joining us. See you next week. Goodbye.